Win £25,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to a weekend on From the Horse's Mouth, where we look ahead to racing on Saturday and Sunday. And we're going to look ahead with Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy. Now, if you're listening to this after the racing is completed on Saturday, just skip forward. We'll cover Sunday's cards on ITV as well, Punchestown and Exeter, a little bit later on in the podcast. But let me bring in my esteemed panel, Ruby Walsh and Rory DeLargy. Ruby Walsh, how are you?
Wonderful, PK, yourself.
How was Clonmel?
Clonmel was nice, chilly but bright, and some good finishes to the good races. Paul Townend, I think, was in unbelievable form. He's riding Dolcita even was a thing of beauty.
It was, wasn't it? I'd say she was a nice price. She hit a big price in running. Rory DeLargy, were you watching the Action Clonmel during the week?
I caught a little bit of it, yes. So the Clonmel oil, I caught Dolcita. Good action. Always a good meeting,
yeah.
That.
Yeah, it
nice
is.
To see Clonmel get the spotlight every now and again.
It is nice. And then you did the road to Cheltenham, didn't you, Ruby, on the track with Lydia?
Yeah, yesterday morning, yeah, with Davy Russell, which was lovely. A bit chilly, but yeah, it was really nice.
Anything from Davy that we should be looking forward to? Is he giving any secrets away?
You can tune in and watch the road to Cheltenham if you so like.
Thanks, Ruby. Right, we're going to look ahead to a lot of racing. Obviously, ITV action on Saturday and Sunday. But a reminder, Paddy's Pick 5 is back. 25 grand to be won. Free to play on Saturday. The races are confirmed. The 213 Punchestown. Also, the 323 Punchestown. So two from Punchestown and three from Haydock. The 225, 3 o'clock and 335, which includes, of course, the Betfair Chase. Big Betfair day, of course, at Haydock, our sister company. Best luck to them. We're going to kick off with the 150. And this is a graduation chase. Now, this race is head of the market by Hitman at 1-2, who is double declared this weekend. There's a possibility he goes to Ascot, but I believe this is his first preference. 9-2 Manila Drama, 6-1 Ernie River and or Earn River and Itchy Feet. Rory, probably not the type of race you're going to get stuck into, but what are your thoughts?
No, not. I mean, Hitman should get it done, but he is a frustrating horse to follow. He's got a class edge here. In fairness, Itchy Feet's also a very classy horse, but he's just an awfully clumsy jumper and a horse who hasn't gone on since, was it the Scilly Isles he won at Sandown as a novice? Looked like he could take really high order, but he didn't jump particularly well that day and then cleared away from the last. And in his races since then, he just hasn't gained any confidence over his fences. And he's a hard horse to back now, having changed ownership and pulled up on his last two starts. The ground is going to be pretty testing, isn't it? I think it's going to get more testing than the official at the moment, and that would be a worry for me for Manila Drama. He does handle. I mean, he's a winner here on soft ground last year in the alt car. But I just, the more I look at him, the more I think, although he handles the conditions, he just lacks a little bit of scope at his fences. And the deeper it gets, the more difficult that makes it for him. And I thought he might just struggle there as a result. And I was coming around to the idea that Earn River might just be the value here. He's got a lot to find on the ratings, but he was highly tried last season. He was an impressive winner on his chase debut for Nick Kent. Now, Nick Kent would be one of the lesser known trainers in the country, but he got good results from his horses last season from a small team. Earn River ran really well after a break to win on his chase debut and handicap debut at Doncaster. Then followed up on bad ground at Wetherby and looked a really good prospect. And then he was thrown into Grade 1 company, falling at Aintree. And then I thought good ground was probably against him in the Oaksea Chase, but it was a good pot for him to go for at the end of the season. He got hampered at the start, and it was a bit of a messy race. He ended up finishing third of the four, beaten quite a long way. But he's still got improvement in him. He will appreciate getting back on very testing ground. His wins have come on softer, heavy ground. And although he's got, you know, at least a stone to find with Hitman, I can see him bridging that gap to some degree. And at the prices, I think Earn River might be worth a small bet. But it would be small stakes because it's his first race of the season. I know he was fit enough last year, but this is a bigger test. So it wouldn't be a huge amount of confidence there. But I'd rather back him for small stakes than try to buy money backing Hitman.
All right. So case made for Earn River Small Stakes. I've just already put Hitman in this acca that I'm going to build for Saturday. It's going to be all the big name horses and it's going to be easy peasy. So Hitman 1-2, he's leg number one. Ruby, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I wouldn't go away from him. I think his run was a cracking run at entry in the old run behind Riders on the Storm. An extra furlong, I think, will suit him. Paul is mooted, maybe. He could be a King George horse in the making. If he's even thinking of entering him, I think he has to win here. So I'll side with Hitman at very prohibitive odds.
Don't worry, Ruby. He's just the first leg. So Hitman in the graduation chase. We assume he runs there. I do believe Paul Nicholson said this is the preference to run here. I think the owners have got Protector, don't they, in the big one. So I assume they're putting a bit of pressure too. 225 is a really good looking 3 mile handicap hurdle. This one, the Betfair Exchange Stairs hurdle. This is, by the way, Paddy's Pick 5 race 2. Run for Oscar, who of course landed that big gamble for Charles Burns on the flat in the Cesaro, which now back over hurdles. It's a 3-1 favorite at the time of recording. We're recording, by the way, on Friday late morning. Might I for Harry Fry, a 4-1 shot. Then you've got Good Risk at All for Mr. Saturday himself, Sam Thomas. That's been well backed this week. That's now 9-2. 15-2, Get a Tonic. And Botox has is 9-1, as is Complete Unknown. Right, Ruby Walsh, off you go.
Yeah, look, it revolves around Run for Oscar and which Run for Oscar we're going to get. The one that was 7th, the Indefatigable at Wetherby last year, off a mark of 147. I know that was a conditions race. Has a really good chance. The one that beat Wolf Prince in the Stole, we want to be a bit better than that. That was 133 that day. Look, the one that won the Cesaro, which it's going to take a fair bit of whack in here, but which Run for Oscar do we get? And there's value outside of Run for Oscar. I thought Good Risk at All did it really well at Carlisle when he beat Holstone. But I was talking to Dan Skelton on the radio earlier in the week and he was really sweet on Get a Tonic. Won it there last time out. He sounded like he had it well tuned up for its seasonal debut. Improved through the season. Was no match for Hillcrest at Cheltenham back in January, but I think a mark of 133 could be well workable for Get a Tonic, and I'm going to side with him, her, even each way.
Were you talking to Dan Skelton on Game On and 2FM, was it?
I was.
And then last time I was talking to you and you gave me a tip from Game On, it was Dermot Well with Duke de Cess at Irish Champions Weekend.
That correct and right.
Julie did the job. Rory, thoughts?
I'm slightly worried about Stamina for Good Risk at All. He's a horse I liked him a lot last season. The handicap would give him a ridiculously low mark to start off with, given the ability he showed in bumpers. He made mistakes in his early starts over hurdles, but he's got much better in his last couple of runs. And he's still well handicapped at 143, I think. My worry with him is I think he's got loads of speed. I think he could drop back to 2 miles and be effective. So I'm not entirely sure that stepping up to 3 is the answer for him. For all, he's definitely pretty well handicapped. And then I'm going to put something up that's also on a step up and trip, and that's Maitai, who, you know, was running behind some very, very good horses last year, Constitution Hill, John Bond. And he was put in his place when he ran against the best novices last season at 2 to 2.5 miles. But he's from a real staying family. He's by Fame and Glory. And he is a half-brother to a smart chaser called Binge Drinker, who stays 3 miles. And another very smart chaser called Statler, of course, who stays extremely well. So if he takes after his progeny on that side, and he does look like he will stay. They didn't want to ask him too many questions last season, but he really should benefit from step up from 2.5 to 3. The slight concern is, you know, I like horses to be acclimatized a little bit to the distance before they try it. So I don't really like to see him have a really hard test first time. But I do think there's a lot to come from my guy off this sort of mark. He wants soft ground. He looks on a decent mark of 142, and if he improves with a step up and trip, I think he's got a big chance of winning this. But you can make some kind of case for about 7 or 8 of these without too much trouble. So you want to be sure you're getting a reasonable price about your fancy. There aren't many in this that I could completely rule out, even some of the outsiders. Holstone, he'll appreciate stepping up to 3 miles from 2.5. You know, he was beaten by Good Risk at All at Carlisle, but he'll actually improve the step up to 3 miles. And of course, he won, of course, in distance after a long break last season. I could see him running well at a biggish price, but I will go with my tie and just try to make sure I don't take... What price is he at the moment?
4-1 at the moment.
4-1, yeah. 4-1 is probably very much basement there, given how many have claims. But I do think there's a lot of upside to Mighty.
Fair enough. Okay, Mighty and Getatonic. Yeah, we've had Getatonic mentioned. We've had binge drinking mentioned. Don't go to the World Cup, by the way, folks. If you want a drink, just been announced this morning, you won't be able to get one. Right, we got the big one at Haydock. It's the Betfair Chase. It's 3 miles and a furlong. Lots of kind of interesting chat over the week that maybe Apu Tard wasn't going to run based on Betfair Exchange prices, but he's there. And Rachel Blackmore right, 4-7 at the time of recording, 5-2 Protect Draft for the Skeletons. Bristol Demai, who loves this one, 7-1. Eldorado Allen 14s and 20-1. Frodon, who's looking to back up his win in the handicap. All right, Ruby, is Apu Tard, we're just putting him in number two, leg number two with Hitman?
I'd prefer a Plutar even in a stronger race at 4-7 than Hitman at 1-2, to tell you the truth. I know Bristol DeMay will go along. Eldorado Allen won't be too far off the pace. Frodon, there is pace in the race. And it could turn into a bit of a slog, but I just think your man is too good. I think he'd be cantering along behind him, and Rachel will wait until she decides she wants to go on him. I just think he's too far ahead of the opposition, PK. We could talk round in circles here for as long as you want, but I think at 4-7 he'd win.
Yes. We're listening to a few podcasts this morning. The worry is the ground could deteriorate to a level that he really won't enjoy. It's soft as we record, but it's Haydock, so it's probably going to be heavy. Is there any concerns for you, Ruby, on that?
He's by Capgard. I don't have any worries about the ground for him. I think the best horse is going all ground, PK, and I think he's arguably the best chaser in training. So, look, it definitely makes Bristol DeMay a better horse, but he's 11 years of age. Protect Rat was very good in entry in heavy ground last year. It was only soft, actually, because it was raining, it looked worse. I think Frodon on soft ground, he has to double in price, because he couldn't handle slowish ground at Leopardstown, let alone that was yielding ground, was blamed for his performance on that occasion. So not sure how he's going to go on the heavy. And Eldorado Allen, yeah, maybe he'll go on it, but again, he's just too far behind the Plutar. Level weights, I don't know.
Yeah, he just wins, Ruby. You're dead right. All right, Rory.
Yeah, I think you've got to look at the forecast here. The whole debate about his fluctuating price on the exchanges, you can waste an awful lot of your life looking at Betfair anti-post markers and trying to read significance into things that aren't significant. By definition, they're not really liquid markets. They're not really fluid in terms of, you know, people will get involved, and then they'll leave it alone for a while, and then someone can come along and affect the market, by taking a view which makes it suddenly look like, oh, something must have happened here, and it hasn't. You see this with adipose markets for Cheltenham all the time. People say, oh, the favourite for one of the Grade One races has suddenly gone from 2-1 to 20-1 at Betfair. But if you look at the amount of money that's being traded, on a regular basis on those markets, often people are, you know, there's maybe only 50 quid sitting up there to have a bet, because people don't want news to break and their money be left up on the exchange being hoovered up by someone who knows the horse is out. So when someone does take a view, they have to go over the odds to get a bet matched, and then certain people just jump to conclusions that there must be an issue. Then no one wants to back said horse, and next thing you know, it's been matched at 25-1 and there's no issue at all. In fact, you could probably make money just looking for those horses that drift like that and have a few bob on. But that's
is this directed directly at me, because that's exactly
no absolutely no. I think there has been a lot of talk about why is the Plutar so weak in the market and should we be reading into this, and not really. I mean, he was 1.4 at one stage on the Betfair market, and he's never going to go off at that price. So, you know, he's been too short and too big, because the nature of these markets, yeah, when no one wants to be leaving money up there, means you do get those peaks and troughs. So, you know, it's just a bit of a bugbear of mine.
I definitely, I did put up, I was like, geez, he's a mad price now on Betfair. And there was a chunk of change looking to lay him. So I was like, oh God, pretty bad. So I put up a snip of the picture of the Betfair exchange price. And then Henry de Bromhead's head lass tweeted me and just said, have a look at my Instagram, honey. Or have a look at my Instagram stories, hon, with a kiss face. And I was like, oh, okay. So I looked, and it was just basically her getting ready with our Apu Tard heading over. So, yeah. Anyway, I actually said he wasn't running, as our producer Mark just said. I actually tweeted, there's no chance this horse runs. Well, look at this. Thanks very much to Henry's head lass, Amy. I can't remember her name. She's like, yeah, just check out my Instagram. He's running. You idiot.
Amy or Zoe?
Zoe, what was the second name? Zoe Smalley, I think it was.
Yep.
Yes, Zoe. She put me right. Hands up.
There you go. Well, listen, I wasn't having a go at you, even as Zoe was.
Well,
I'm going to have a go at Zoe. Can you just please let PK make a bigger twat and substitute? I'm hanging for longer.
Not hard to do, Zoe. Anyway,
back to the race, eh? There's no real reason to be against them. Obviously, even top class horses can have off days, but you don't back horses or field against horses on the basis that they might have an off day. He's well clear here. He is a class act. He was better than ever in the spring. And he comes here with Henry's horses in better form than they were last year as well. So there's no reason why he shouldn't win this well. And I think Bristol De May is probably the horse to finish second to him. He didn't jump particularly well on good ground last year, but that's the key to him is he needs to be going that bit slower to jump well. And when other horses are struggling with the jumping on bad ground, Bristol De May actually jumps better. He gets into a rhythm, and he's very happy doing that. So with the ground getting softer, that will suit him. He will bowl along, jump well, but he won't have anything like the finishing speed of a Plutard. But that should give you the forecast, I think.
Lovely. Okay, nice little forecast there. That's leg number two in Aplutard in my little Acca as well. He runs. Yes, he's definitely running, by the way, on Saturday. Right, we'll move on to the 3:35. It's the handicap chase, 3 miles, basically course and distance of the Betfair. For those who like their sectionals and timing, this gives them an opportunity to compare and contrast with the big one. Houston, Texas is the 130 favorite as we speak, looking for 4 wins in a row. Fontaine Collange for Venetia Williams, who the old adage goes, Venetia Williams in November, she wins everything. As the time recording, I don't think she's had a winner this season.
No winners thus far. But no doubt by the time this comes out, she'll have had a treble at Ascot.
Exactly.
That tends to be the way.
She's 9-2, or Fontaine Collange is 9-2 at the moment. Lord of Menil for Richard Hobson is 11-2 and at 6-1 bar, including Good Boy Bobby, actually, yeah, who's worth a mention. Rory, sorry, back to you for this one.
I'm going to be very dull here. I think you've got a genuinely progressive long distance chaser in here in Houston, Texas, for a yard having a bit of a resurgence as well, and Nicky Richards, and I think he'll take all the beating off 10 stone 5. His wins have come at Carlisle, but it's Nicky's local course. He's always liked running his good horses there, as his father did before him. He's obviously had his issues in the past, but he's coming good now. Houston, Texas, he went handicapping off a lowish mark. He hasn't won by very far his last two starts, a length and 3/4 last time out, but he travelled really strongly in that race and looked different class to his rivals. And although this is a fair old hike in terms of the company he's keeping, he's only £6 higher in the weights. And I think he's a better horse than 1-2-2. He's getting a lot of weight from some of the top weights in this race. And I think that should tell, he's not a particularly big price Houston, Texas, but he's going the right way at the right time. Conditions will be fine for him, and I think he runs a really big race. I thought the danger to him with Freddie Gingell even taking £10 off Chockers Lodge was probably him. I think he'll be ready for this on his return. He'll handle the conditions. He's the one. Obviously, he's got 12 stone, but with Freddie's claim, it's only 11 stone 4, and I think Chockers Lodge will also run his race, and he'd be the one I'd be using as a mixer for forecasts and stuff there.
Lovely. All right. Nod to Jim McGrath there on the Nick Love podcast. Put him in a swinger. Right. So Houston, Texas for Rory. Ruby?
I'm going to take a chance on Musical Slave. I know he's a 9-year-old, but he was definitely in a vein of form towards the back end of last season. One at Sandown, one here at Haydock when he beat On Guard. And I don't think there's any shame in chasing home Hewick in the Bet365 at the end of the season. He was 8 lengths behind Hewick. We all know where Hewick has gone since. And I think a mark of 137, which is 7 higher than that day, I just think that that's decent form.
Okay, interesting shout there from Ruby with Musical Slave, Rory with Houston, Texas. Keep an eye out on Truckers Lodge as well. Okay, let's go to Ascot. We've got some really good animals running at Ascot on Saturday, particularly in the hurdle, but also Lom Presse, who tops the market for our first live race at Ascot this Saturday in the Chanel Farmer 1965 Chase. 8-15, Lom Presse. Now, 8-15 now. Hitman is still priced at the time of recording. We know that his first preference is obviously at Haydock. He's the 11-4 second favourite. So I'll ask Rory what price Lom Presse goes when he is inevitably withdrawn. St. Calvados is 8-1, 14-1, Do Your Job, and Cool Cody 16-1. Right, Lom Presse is click leg number 3 of my Acca, Rory. 8-15 now, but what price when the other one comes out?
Well, he'll be 1-4, I think, because Do Your Job will be out as well.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Do Your Job's declared today. So unless he comes out of Friday's, I'm not sure he can come out of Friday's race and run on Saturday. So unless Michael Scudamore fancies running him back to back. And for a horse who's had wind surgery since his reappearance, two runs in 2 days at Ascot seems a strange plan. So he's almost certainly coming out. It's strange to see Cool Cody here after what happened to at Cheltenham last week. And his program is always seems to be every Cheltenham meeting and nothing else. So it looks, it's a match between Lompressé and St. Calvados, and it's difficult to know where you stand with St. Calvados at the moment. I know he won well in the Oaksy Chase at his final start last season. That panned out very well for him. I just think he's been a very, very badly campaigned horse over the years, St. Calvados. And that's not a dig at Paul Nicholls, because he's been in different yards and in different ownership. But his very best form has come over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham. His run in his second in the Ryanair 3 years ago is an absolutely top class effort. And yet he's been withdrawn on the day of the race in two subsequent years on good to soft ground, which makes absolutely no sense to me. Going maybe marginally softer last year when Paul Nicholls took him out, and it was good to soft and deemed to be too fast for his previous yard. Nicholls now thinks the horse doesn't want soft ground. So it's interesting that he's running here on ground that's going, and it's good to soft officially at the moment, but it's going to be pretty tacky, I'd have thought, at Ascot. Sunny at the moment, but they've had a lot of rain in the last couple of days, so it's difficult to know where we stand with St. Calvados. And obviously he's been sold since last seen. David Maxwell can't claim here either, so it does look like, you know, I know Venetia's yet to have a winner. That may change by the time the podcast goes out, but she's had a lot of horses hitting the frame, and I'd be stunned if Lompressé doesn't come out and win this easily.
We could be looking at a Nube Negra kind of price, couldn't we, here at this stage? If those two come out 1-6,
it depends what's in, you know, if Paul Nicholls is reasonably keen in St. Calvados, then that might help this price. But really, I think you're looking at, I said fours on, I think maybe 6 or 7 on is probably more like it, isn't it?
Great. Okay, Ruby, you can tip up Lompressé and we'll move on.
Done.
Thank you. All right, that was done. Lompressé to win, but unfortunately, it's not going to be much of a price. Speaking of not much of a price, Constitution Hill is 1-5. Click, he goes into my fourfold. He's 1-5 to win the 240, which is the Ascot hurdle. His opposition here are Brewing Up a Storm, Goshen for Pleasure, and Utrecht. All right, Ruby Walsh, Constitution Hill, will he win on Saturday?
Yes, he will. Triple suit him. Of course he wins. It's a start for him in a massive year for him, and a big year for the sport too. We need Constitution Hill to rattle along unbeaten until he has his showdown in March with Honeysuckle. And I hope he's impressive. I hope he goes wherever he goes at Christmas time and he's impressive into the new year and is the very, very same. We need big clashes, and I hope this fella absolutely bolts in tomorrow.
Same here. I'm trying to think of, I could be wrong, Nicky Henderson is making some interesting noises regarding his work. I can't remember him saying, maybe I'm just forgotten, but he seems to be going above about saying how good this horse's work is this season.
He was always fairly complimentary of Shishkin. I was Spencer Sacra.
True.
I think the thing here is that he didn't mention Constitution Hill at all this time last year before he won on his debut, because Michael Buckley was desperately shoveling the money on for the Supreme. So Nicky was a little bit, you know, the owner deserves his chance here, and really didn't say much about Constitution Hill until he bolted up beating Mai Tai at Sandown. And then he said, this horse is extraordinary. And at that stage, Mr. Buckley had plenty on at 33s for Cheltenham in March. So, and you know, rightly so to a large degree, we're a little bit obsessed with you know, trainers' blogs and all the rest of it. But in that scenario, where you've got a horse who you spent money on who hasn't run, and you suddenly think it might be something special, you deserve to have a punt on him at the very least.
He had run. He was beaten in that point.
By whom?
The one that won that Catterick handicap is John Joe Neal.
And the Sedgefield handicap. Constitution Hill
is 1-5, Rory. So look, again, we're not looking at getting rich here, although I'm putting him in my fourfold. Is there any angle here?
The angle's the forecast again. I couldn't have Brewing Up a Storm with stolen money. He's a horse that he's got a lot of talent. He's shown that in the past. But he does have a habit of not completing in his races. He doesn't get the landing gear down at times. And again, he didn't last very long at entry last time out. Pulled up there in the spring. And he's just, for all that he's got tons of ability, you don't always get an end result from him. And for all Goshen gets called all the names under the sun, And I was, you know, I was one of the first to call him a few names as a juvenile because I thought he was a bit of a nutcase. Fences clearly aren't his thing. He put in an extra stride at every fence on his Chase David Ascot, and I'd imagine they will never ask him again to jump a fence. But on soft ground at Ascot over 2.5 miles, he'll enjoy himself and he will definitely be second here. So you'll definitely be getting odds against the forecast Constitution Hill to beat Goshen. And that should be pretty straightforward, I think.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for Constitution Hill Goshen forecast. It is priced up on Playfair at the moment as well. You can do those straight forecasts right now. He is odds against, or that he is rather, odds against, as you mentioned. Really looking forward to seeing what he does over the course of the season, Constitution Hill. Now, 3:15 at Ascot, a little bit more competitive. Edwardstown, this is great stuff. Come on, Kingy. He's called a few names, Alan King, with Trushan over the season, but he ran him in the Northumberland Plate, and he's running Edwardstown in a handicap here, which makes this race far more interesting. 11-4 favourite, Boot Hill 7-2. We've got Emmett Mullins. Uh-oh. Will he get mentioned on ITV this week? 4-1 So Scottish, 9-2 Time White, and 8-1 Fair Bamboo. Back to you, Ruby, for this. Edwardstown, it's a handicap we've seen with Frodon already this season. We saw Trushan. These top grade horses and handicaps, I love it. I think they're the ones to be on.
Yeah, I suppose not so with Trushan, flat, different sport, but Frodon have been given a chance by the handicapper. It's whether you believe Edwardstown has been given a chance or not at a mark of 161. Look, if he's going to be taking on Enner Gramine, yeah, well then he could well be well handicapped at 161 because he'll have to be 12, 13 pounds better than his mark. But I think he is giving way to some pretty decent horses here or progressive ones. I think the penalty maybe might stop Time White. I thought he bolted in and 7 wouldn't stop him. But can I see him beating Edwardstown only getting 12? It's probably questionable. And could Ferrero Bamboo be the one to improve enough for Venetia? We think our horses are going to take off in November. And if they are, I think at the prices at 8-1, I'd kind of like to be with Ferrero Bamboo here. 9 runners, there's an each way market. He's an each way price. I'd be siding with him. I think Saw Scottish has to improve considerably. Why did you say would Emma get mentioned on ITV this week?
Because of what happened on with the horse in the Greatwood, the Drift.
We told you on ITV last week he'd no chance before it started.
It was a big talking point, and it was mentioned. I'm saying it was mentioned. Yeah, yeah, it
people
was mentioned.
People obviously weren't watching, like, but when you say it couldn't be the price it was, what more do you want to say?
Yeah, I liked your piece. For those who didn't watch, Ruby did a bit of, because it was hard to find the form where he was 4-1, and you found, was it a flat race he ran in behind Bustleton, was it?
A 3-mile chaser.
That was yeah.
That was like, gas. If you were willing to have backed him at 4-1, I'm sorry, my sympathy for you is not there.
Yeah, well, look, as Rory already mentioned, Antipost Markets midweek are weak. For the races ahead, and you know, small cash can move prices significantly. And look, anyone who's going to price that horse up at 16-1, like, you can't really. I mean, well, maybe you can if you want, but that was silly. Anyway, that's last week. South Scottish this week for Emma Mullins and Michael Sullivan, who's going very well. So Fair Bamboo for Ruby. Rory?
No. Well, oh, it is Michael. Sorry, was Maxine not on it yesterday? Michael is on it, you're right.
Yeah, Michael. Yes, I got something right. All right, Rory.
Maxine was on it. Go on.
I think the Ascot regulars will hopefully be in for a bit of a treat seeing Michael O'Sullivan ride, because he's been enormously impressive in the last few months. He looks like a future champion in the making. Always a dangerous thing to say, and I'm never that keen to praise young jockeys to the skies. It can go to their heads, but he seems very level-headed as well. So keen to see how he gets. I thought it was a bit of a slightly strange placing from Emmett with So Scottish, because obviously he's wrong at the weights. And I thought he had a very nice looking handicap mark to go into the spring with. And I thought he'd want to look after that. Whereas if he wins this, then he's going to go up 7 or 8 or 10 pounds. And that just sort of exposes him a little bit more. But as Ruby says, he does need to improve to win this. And by definition, every horse who rocks up in these colours is put in shortish. Everyone's fairly careful of it. I like Boot Hill here. I'm a bit of a Harry Fry fanboy this weekend. He didn't really get his act together last season, and he probably doesn't want it absolutely hock deep either. But he's always looked a chaser in the making. Harry didn't want to send him chasing too early. And the Fry team were just out of form for a large chunk of last year. A lot of the horses just not firing on all cylinders, but they've come back doing very well. He obviously had the runner-up in the Great Woods last weekend, and Boot Hill won with a ton to spare At Newton Abbott last month. I was on British Champions Day, so not everyone was looking at the action at Newton Abbott, but Harry had a double that day. And although Boot Hill only won by three quarters of a length, he had plenty to spare. I thought he jumped very well that day, travelled very well. He was produced late, having been held up at the back of the field. Not the ideal way to ride Newton Abbott as a rule, but he was ridden with a view to education as much as anything else. I think Ascot will suit him. He ran very well in a handicap hurdle here season before last on his reappearance. And as long as it doesn't get too deep, I think he will run a very big race. I think a mark of 140. Although he's gone up, it looks harsh enough going up £8 for winning a four-runner race at Newton Abbott last time out. But I thought he was value for a lot more than that. I think it will do his confidence good as well. So he's the one for me. Not a massive price, Boot Hill, but again, he's a horse with improvement off his mark, and this is probably the time to catch him.
Lovely. Okay, so Boot Hill for Rory and Fair Bamboo each way for Ruby in that very interesting handicap chase. That click sound is Edward Stone going into my Haka, which he basically makes the entire Haka now because the rest are going to be way too short. Now, we've got 2 days of racing at Punchestown this weekend. We're going to spin through Saturday's card with Ruby because there's some interesting races, some interesting horses, particularly Kilcrut, who makes his chasing debut in the opener. He's going to be pretty short, I would imagine. That said, some nice horses take him on, Ruby, and Journey With Me in particular. But Kilcrut, looking forward to seeing this fella.
Well, yeah, big time. And he's in against Journey With Me. Journey With Me, he's a good horse. Henry de Bom has Journey With Me. Both yards seem to be in good form. Henry's probably a little bit more forward than Willie's. Kilcrut hasn't run since he was behind Stateman. He was well beaten in the Supreme. It's a toss of a coin. I mean, a maiden hurdle last Christmas at Leopardstown, 2.5 miles. Journey With Me beat Kim Manila Kakruner and Kilcrut was third. So directly on that form line, you'd be siding with Journey With Me.
Okay. All right. It'd be very interesting to see how they go. I guess the question is, will one take to jumping better than the other? We'll guess we'll find that out, really. Jumping fences, that is. The Craddockstown Novice Chase is the first of the graded action of Punchestown over the weekend. It's a grade two novice chase over 2 miles. No Willie Mullins representative, Ruby. Midnight Run, Grand Parody bring the strongest ratings, perhaps, in maybe an open-looking renewal?
They do, but I'm just not sure about Midnight Run. Is he really 141? I can't have him at that high a rating. Grand Paradis was disappointing behind El Barra at Cork. I'm sure he'll have improved for that run. He beat A1 at Cork last April. But I thought Hollowed Star was the improver. Absolutely bolted in at Galway. You know, won a couple of handicap hurdles off lower marks all right during the summer. But I thought Hollowed Star was the interesting one for the Shark and Danny.
Yep, he's had his last four runs at Galway, unsurprisingly, given the colours, but interesting to see who gets on. Very interesting maiden hurdle, Joff at 138. Absolute Notions and Benno are two hurdling debutants certainly to watch out for. Fran Berry gave Benno a mention earlier on the Fridays with Fran podcast. You haven't listened to that, making his hurdling debut. Absolute Notions won a Punchestown bumper in very nice style. Ruby, there is a Willie Mullins representative in the reserves, Ali Baba, but if that gets in, would it have a chance?
I think he could struggle. He's been slightly disappointing in two bumpers at Galway. Maybe Galway doesn't suit him. He doesn't quite get home. Maybe he's just too quick for Galway. Absolute Notions bolted in a bumper here. That was the Land Rover bumper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Trained by Gordon at the time. Did it very impressively and has been purchased. But I'd say Fran is right. Benno, with a rating of 132, if he's schooled well, he's the one to beat. That said, I mean, he's well down in the Ebor, well down in the Cesaro, which you kind of wonder, is his rating that correct? But let it be £10 wrong. Let him only be a 92 horse. Will that do? It probably will.
Yeah, he was good horse on the flat. It was Benno and JP Silks. Interesting. What a few interesting JP runners over the weekend. The listed mares hurdle, usually Willie Mullins has a 2 or 3 for this. I don't know what's going on there then, Clissutton. No runner for Willie in the mares bumper or the mares race.
We had three that could possibly run in a PK, and they're all going chasing Dino Blue, Allegory Devassi, and there was one more hinted in the beginner's chase in Cork on Sunday. It excludes grade one winners, so we had plenty of mares that were out, and the other filly got injured. Filly that whore pieced.
Okay. Well, no runner.
That's Queens, why we've no runner.
Fair enough. Queensbrook, she's getting a little bit frustrating, or am I over the top there?
I think at the end of October, Gardens were just about ready enough to run, and that was 2 miles and 6 furlongs at Limerick. I'd say she just wasn't quite fit enough for it. It's 4 weeks ago, or the best part of 4 weeks ago. I think she'd have come on plenty, and I expect her to turn the form with heaven help us.
Fair enough. Okay, keep an eye out for Queen's Brook in there. Now, the 248 is a maiden hurdle in which Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fans will be keeping an eye. Sorry, not a maiden hurdle, novice hurdle. Uncle Phil runs here for Willie in those state man colours of Joe Donnelly. Pulled up last when last seen. Ruby, Paul on board. What are thoughts?
Paul just on the suit him. Just not sure about the horse. Thought the Model Kingdom got run out of it in the north by Magical Zoe, but I was blown away by Halibut at Clonmel. I know it was only Clonmel, but he couldn't have won any easier. He was third to Marine Nationale in a bumper at the Punchestown Festival, and I think Halibut will take all the beating.
Yeah, it's again an interesting bit of placing by Emmett here in the basis. He's not very well in at the weights, or I suppose they don't have ratings, but he has to give weight away here. So if he does win this, Halibut's a hell of a horse.
Because it's a rated novice on PK. So basically the handicapper has rated Halibut 130, I think.
Okay.
And then if you can work it back from there as to what he's rating.
120, I think he'd be.
120, Halibut?
Yeah, it's a 120.
Yeah, it was not 120, but 120.
Oh, sorry, he's able to run off a higher mark.
Yeah, so it's okay, actually to run, if you're 119, you're a pound out. So it's 121 to 130. So I would have Halibut at 130, and you can work your way back from there. I don't know if there's a mare's allowance. I wouldn't think there is in the condition. So he has the Model Kingdom basically 8 pounds. He has her at 122. That's a guide for you, I think. And then he has Uncle Phil below, but I'd say Emmett was quietly surprised to get Halibut in at 130.
Lovely.
Jason Mark doesn't try and confirm the 130, but that's why he's in it.
Jason Mark wants me to make a fish pun. I refuse to. Halibut will win. Nothing fishy about that. Right, we move on to the 323, which is, by the way, Paddy's pick five race number four. Now, this race is the most run-of-the-mill handicap on Saturday. And I was like, oh God, I'm going to have to ask the lads for a selection in this race. And Rory De Largy, out of nowhere. Is this the one that you said, I actually have one for this race?
Indeed. And it's not, it doesn't take an awful lot of detective work, but it might be a price. Have you got prices on it?
Not yet, no. I'll get the Irish Racing tissue, which will be miles off.
2 years ago, this race was won by Exciting Oscar for Dennis O'Hearn. And I think Danny Mullins wrote it that day. Now, when Exciting Oscar won this, he was showing much improved form. He won at 25-1. His form figures coming into the race, which were the previous season, were 0500p. He'd had two runs in handicaps, and he won this off a mark of 92 in decent style. And then he showed similar form over hurdles in his next few starts. He went chasing then last season, and although he ran pretty well, he ran up to his best when second at Ferry House in January. Never gave the impression that he was particularly happy jumping fences. He did win a point. Oh, sorry, he did start off in points. He didn't actually win one. And he just looked a bit hard work over fences. So I think he's going to benefit from dropping back to hurdles. And because he had mixed form last season, he's dropped to a mark of 95. So he's only £3 higher than when he won this race. He's very lightly raced over hurdles since. When he won this race, he was doing it fresh, haven't been off since March. He's off since March again. He's 95. And Dennis O'Hearn has got Ambrose McCurtain to ride, claiming three. So he's essentially off the same mark as he was when winning it 2 years ago. And he looks a little bit of a plot to me.
Exciting Oscar. I am excited. I don't know why I do this to myself and Fran, because we always record on Thursdays before Paddy Power prizes are out. So we look at the Irish Racing tissue. 25-1 is the tissue price, Rory. We take a bit of that?
I'd take a bit of that, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I see 66-1 on the time form tissue. I don't think you're going to get that.
maybe a few minutes out, if there's absolutely nothing for him, he might drift out to that sort of price. But he won't appear overnight at that sort of price. I'd be surprised anyway. So exciting, Oscar. Exciting indeed. Okie doke. That is everything covered on Saturday. We're going to have a quick spin through the I'm just going to remind you the Paddy's Pick Five races, and we'll get a quick shout from our two minds in the world of racing. 213 at Punchestown, the first one. That, by the way, is the Mayor's Hurdle. Ruby Walsh, Queensbrook.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Queensbrook. And that 225 at Haydock. You both have different selections. Rory, give me your selection in that race.
Let me find the 225.
Harry Fry, there's a clue.
Harry Fry. I do like two Harry Fry horses in over this weekend. So it's not Boot Hill, that's an Ascot. Not.
Same colours.
So it must be Might Eye.
It is. It is indeed Might Eye in the 225. Betfair Chase. We all know who's going to win that, yeah. Right?
We hope so.
Yeah.
at Plutarc, both selecting that one. The 323 Punchestown. Well, I tell you what, you could knock out a few people if you manage to get this right, Rory. What was your 323 Punchestown selection?
Exciting, Oscar.
Indeed, it will be. And finally, the 335 at Haydock. I'll give it to you again, Rory, because I think you fancied a shorter price one. That is the handicap chase at the end of the card.
That is, I've forgotten, is that Houston, Texas, isn't it?
It is indeed, Houston, Texas.
Look at that. Look at me remembering horses' names.
Well done, Rory. Tremendous. This is great. That horse trained by that man that ran in that race.
The Nicky Richards thing. And I thought, hold on a second, he's called Houston, Texas.
The Dante winner. Right, well done. Those are Paddy's Pick 5 races. Free to play, 25 grand on the plot, best of luck if you are playing, and it's free to go. And you can check out the show notes as well, as always, if you do want to get involved. Right, we're going to take a very quick break, then we're going to look ahead to a Super Sunday of racing.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, we got ITV cameras and RT cameras are live on Sunday for whichever channel you want to watch for racing from Punchestown, Morgiana Day, and also Exeter will be shown on ITV, which is excellent news. We're going to start, Ruby. I'm going to be quizzing you on every runner that Willie Mullins is saddling or will be saddling over the weekend. And the first of those is in the 11:45 on Sunday morning. It is the Banks race, the Risk of Thunder, what a horse he was, and Brahma Bull, who it appears is going to be his gig now, with Brian Hayes on board. Thoughts?
Yeah, unseen of Brian, the cross-country race at Cheltenham. He schooled well. He was up there during the week, had a few jumps. He seems to be in good form at home, but he's going to struggle to beat Delta Work, isn't he?
It is a very interesting runner in the Delta Work. We'll see how he gets on. Of course, he was due to run, wasn't he, at Cheltenham Delta Work before that race was cancelled. So he should be fit. Yeah. I want to talk about the Florida Pearl Novice Chase, 2 miles, 6 furlongs. This one due off at 1:30. And now, again, no Willie Mullins represented, which is quite a surprise. But we've got a cracking field here.
I'd say we've not often been represented in this Florida Pearl. Willie doesn't tend to run first-time outers in this. And if you'd imagine, he would only have been running beginners in the last 7 to 9 days. He doesn't tend to have one for the Florida Pearl. Gordon has chucked in Manila Crooner first time out, who was second to Manila Cook Crooner at Leopardstown. Miss Cheltenham pulled up behind the Nice Guy at Punchestown. You have Panda Boy, who was an impressive progressive handicapper last season, and won here at Punchestown in May. But I'm with the Devil's Coachman, who I think was valued for his length in three parts victory at Galway over Churchstone Warrior in October.
Yeah, we were talking about him in the national season preview with Frank, and Frank was hoping that he might be a failed chaser that goes back over hurdles. He thinks there could be some nice pots to be won with him. And you thought maybe he could end up in the Paddy Power Chase as well at Leopardstown at Christmas.
We'll see what happens.
We will. Now, the Morgiana, we were wondering how many Willie would leave in it. He has left in Saldier, Sharjah and Stateman, his trio of horses. Jesse Evans for Noel Mead, nice bit of placing here, potentially going to pick up a few quid. And Tiapu for Gordon Lale are the other two representatives. Right, Paul Tannen's gone with Stateman. Patrick rides Sharjah, of course, has won this race a couple of times. And Danny's on Saldier. Surprise winner of the race was the last year, wasn't it, Saldier?
A couple of years ago, I think Saldier won. I think he surprised Sharjah, didn't he, back in 2019. He beat Petit Mouchoir. I'm with Stateman. I think his form is rock solid. He bolted in the county hurdle when he beat First Street, but I was really impressed with him back here at Punchestown over 2 miles and 3 furlongs when he beat Kilcrut, Tree Stripe Life and Flame Bearer. He's a 5-year-old. Look, Tihupu was a good winner of the Red Mills hurdle at Gorn on his second start last season in February. It wasn't more than his second start, but I'm with Stateman. I think he's a fair horse.
We were chatting about plans for him over the course of the season, the national season preview. Can we assume that it's going to be hurdles this season or see what happens?
Definitely
staying over hurdles, and interesting to see how he goes. Constitution Hill, of course, we'll keep an eye out for him. No Sir Gerard in the race. Does that suggest maybe he might go chasing Ruby, or do we know?
I think it probably would, yeah. Vauban's only a 4-year-old, early enough in the season for him, but look, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know the answer, PK. I was here this morning, not in the office when they were doing the declarations, but I won't be surprised if Sir Gerhard goes to open fences.
Very exciting prospect. Rory, I assume Stateman for you as well. Well, sorry, I don't assume anything. Had you a look at the Morgiana?
I had a quick look at it, and I came down to Stateman as well. So no surprises for me at all.
Fair enough. Going back to our national season preview, God, it was very good. I asked you, Ruby Walsh, of the bumper horses from Clissutton last year, which do you think might improve more going over hurdles than some might have expected? You did nominate Seabank Bistro as one of those horses, who was a very smart bumper horse, and he makes his hurdling debut.
Yeah, look, who's to know? I mean, I think the trip would suit him, 2 miles and 5 furlongs. I think he's a stayer. He's a fine big horse. He's plenty of work done. It's a starting point for him. Look, he was ran well in Cheltenham when he was fourth in the Cheltenham bumper. He beat lean horse. Then he was his third run of Punchestown and he was just gone over the top. So I'd put a line through that run. But I think the trip will suit him. And yeah, I like Seabank Bistro. I think he's a nice horse.
Yeah, really exciting. He's in the 240 on the card. She wears it well in the Potemps qualifier, the 315. That's the big handicap hurdle, or one of the handicap hurdles. She wears it well as the representative for Willie.
Yeah, and so she doesn't qualify for that mare's hurdle on Saturday because she did win the Royal Bond. So she's excluded because she's a grade one winner. So look, she's, I think, been disappointing, PK, from where we hoped she would go to where she's ended up. She just doesn't seem to have progressed. A mark of 137 is probably okay for her. You'd be hoping she'd get the trip, but I'm just slightly disappointed with the progress she's made.
Yeah, given she did win a grade one as a novice and she's operating off 137, I doubt you thought that that was going to be the case a couple of seasons later.
No, it's not. But look, she's had a few niggles, and often when horses get injured, it's hard to retain all of the ability they had. If they can come back to close to where they were at times, you're going well, let alone the progress she was going to need to make from a novice into an open horse.
Fair enough. Okay, and the bumper, Lecky Watson runs for Willie Mullins and Patrick on board.
Yeah, was unlucky at Fairy House last Easter behind I Care the Bois. Ran into plenty of trouble and got knocked down sort of between the two and the one. Dr. Eggman was third, so yeah, he looks to have come forward. We like that Lecky Watson. He was unlucky at Fairy House.
Fair enough. So hopefully get compensation there. That's a lovely little spin through the Punchestown card on Sunday. Are you working for RTE, Ruby, or Racing TV?
I am working for RTE on Sunday, yep.
Lovely stuff.
I'm off tomorrow, PK.
Oh, good man. What are your plans?
Watch the racing.
What a Saturday. Aren't they lucky to have you as a dad? Great, Dad, you're off on Saturday. Let's go to a Christmas market. No, I'm going to watch the race. Don't you do that every day, Dad?
Then my girls will sit down and watch it with me, PK. They will be glued to Rachel Blackmore. Well,
that's
IPT.
The dream. That's the dream anyway. I did ask Rory Delargy to scour through some of the ITV Exeter races, and he was only too delighted to oblige. The first of those that's live on ITV is a novice limited handicap chase. It's due off at 225, 20 grand in the pot here. I see there's 9 declared. Not sure we prices at the time recording. I'll check that now. But Dubrovnik Harry, Black Cherry, Full of Light, I suppose they're going to be the top three in the market.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I like Black Jerry at first glance. He's a horse who's taken well to fences. He jumped very well when he won at Fontwell last time, showed improved form. But he wore blinkers for the first time there, which seemed to very much get the best out of him, and they're left off here. I suspect they're left off because this is a much stiffer track, and they don't want him racing too keenly. He was free enough in the blinkers, and maybe did. And although he was clearly the best horse in the day, he did. It was very exuberant, and maybe they want to just rein that back a little bit. But it's always a little bit off-putting when a horse has run really well in blinkers, then doesn't wear them, or vice versa, has run well without blinkers, then suddenly is in headgear for no obvious reason. And similarly with Dubrovnik Harry. Now he's got a big chance on the form. He showed when third in the EBF final, and he was very inexperienced at that stage. Should do better over fences, but he's wearing a tongue tie for the first time, which is a little bit of a concern. Although he's had wind surgery in the summer, so that's maybe a bit of a belt and braces approach. And I think I just prefer Dubrovnik Harry, but they're just minor quibbles about both of the main players there, with the headgear being used.
Christ, this is going to be a good weekend for Harry Fry.
According
to you, it is going to be a very good weekend. He does seem to end up with a lot of horses named Harry as well.
Yeah, it's an odd one, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a weird one. The 3 o'clock is a handicap chase, the Exeter and Holden handicap chase. 30 grand in the pot for this one, so nice big field. 15 declare, great stuff. How's the cricket? Fostinovic, Dodero Vallis, the newest one. Bangers and Cash, probably the top of the market. What do you think, Rory?
Yeah, I thought this was well, it's easy to go for the Harry Fry horse again, isn't it? But I'm gonna side again each way on a horse who just loves it around here and tends to be overpriced. In saying that, when I tipped it up last time, It ended up being quite well backed. That was St. Ernie for Jackie Duplessis. Ben French Davis takes over this time, claiming 7 off him. He ran well to be 4th of 11 here last time, not quite repaying each way support, but he's a pound lower here. He's another 2 pounds off his back with Ben French Davis's claim taken over from Harry Kimber. And I think he'd be better on the softer ground. It's soft, good to soft in places now. There's more rain forecast, so it could get quite testing, and that won't really bother St. Ernie. This is a tough enough race for him as an 11-year-old, but he just loves it around Exeter, and I think he'll again outrun his position in the market.
Fantastic. All right, St. Ernie, we'll keep an eye for that. Jackie Duplessis. And one more race on ITV, the 335, the Plymouth Handicap Hurdle. Again, 30 grand in the pot. Harry Fry is a runner here, Rory. It's called Forever Blessed.
I can't go for all the Harry Fry horses. But in fairness, you can make excuses for him getting beaten in the finale last year. Not a typical juvenile hurdler at all. He won his first two starts. And then just found it all too much. Went favourite for the finale behind Porticello. There was a lot of trouble in running that day, and he got messed around with and just wasn't able to recover himself, and ended up pulled up. We didn't see him again later in the season. It's probably done him the world of good to have a bit of time off, because I think he'll he's not a proper national hunt bred. But I thought he would be the type to improve again. And because we didn't see him in the spring, he wasn't able to take his form forward. Unlike a lot of, for a horse who started favourite for a grade one hurdle as a juvenile, he goes into handicaps off a mark of 1, 2, 3. And when you consider that, you know, most of those good juveniles end up handicapping off marks in the mid to high 140s, which makes it hard for them. That probably gives him a decent chance here. He's won on heavy, so the rain shouldn't be a massive issue for him. And again, he's sort of a default choice here, but there are too many unexposed horses for you to approach this race with any degree of confidence. So he's a token suggestion only.
So have you tipped up 5 Harry Fry? Four
Fry horses. I didn't tip one up in the last race because, okay. It's all about the individual. I think you'll find.
We love a weekend Fry anyway. That's for sure. Fry up, it could be this weekend. All right, lads, that was a great spin through Saturday and Sunday's racing. Now we need your best bets of the weekend. Hopefully the Saturday, because I like to put those into a nice little special for the shop. So, Ruby, your best bet this weekend, Saturday.
Oh, just so many of them short, PK. It's really hard to say that's my best bet. You really pushed me for Saturday, aren't you?
Well, no, you can go for a weekend. No, that doesn't matter. Go on. You can give, if you have one on Sunday, great, go for it.
Lecky Watson
in the bumper. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. Hopefully he's a price. That's the bumper on the Sunday. So that is the 350 at Punchestown on Sunday. Rory?
I'll go with Might I in the 225 at Haydock.
Thank you very much on the Saturday for Harry Fry to kick off what could be a cracking weekend for him. Do you know what my nap is, lads? Hitman, Aplutart, Lompresse, Constitution Hill, and Edward Stone. Currently works out at 15 to 1. It'll be probably 8 to 1 by the time Lompresse goes 1 to 6 or something like that. Might have to just remove him just in case.
That four is 8 to 1, you reckon?
Edmerson's a price, isn't it?
No, it's a fivefold because Edmerson's
a fivefold.
Yeah. I've got Edward Stone. If you remove Edward Stone at the time of recording, it works out 100 to 30. So 3 1/3 to 1. That's Hitman, Aplutard, Lompresse, and Constitution Hill. But as Rory said, Lompresse is going to go 1 to 5 or something like that. So go to closer to 2s, I imagine. Something like that. Suggests Ruby might be having a few quid in it.
No, Ruby is thinking they won't all win.
Ah, they will. Which one doesn't?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
That's the beauty of being a bookmaker taking accumulators. You never have to work out which one's going to let somebody down. You just keep raking it in.
They're all going to win this weekend. Like Constantine Hill wins head in his shoulder, or whatever the phrase is.
I think the two in Ascot will win. One of the two in Haydock will get stuffed.
Well, Aplutar's not going to. So,
I don't think so either, but...
Hitman is the one that you think won't win.
I don't know. I know I tipped him. I think he will, but something's going to happen to one of the four of those.
Okay. Hopefully not.
I hope not either, but I just have
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully not.
Never all win, BK.
I know. It'll be 3 out of 4. As Rory, last time I did this, he said if he could have a bet on 3 of the 4 winning, that'd be the way to go. Thanks, lads. We know what Ruby's doing for the weekend. Rory, what are your plans?
I was half thinking of going to Ascot tomorrow, but I went up to London last night and walked to and from Waterloo Station, gave myself blisters all over my feet. So I'm not sure I'm quite up to that, but I'll aim to get a day out at Ascot because I didn't get to Cheltenham last weekend and I've not had much of a chance to go racing in a while and it started to get me down a bit last weekend. So
okay.
I'm going to make more of an effort to get out. And
as a day to,
the flesh.
I mean, you're going to see 2 cracking horses in Lone Presse and Constitution at the very least. But indeed. In terms of competitive racing, you're not going to see a huge.
It's not so much the competitive racing. Yeah. It's the getting racing and actually being there.
If they were in Punchestown, even though I'm not working, I would go over and watch them tomorrow.
Yeah. I'd love to. Why isn't Constitution Hill? Put him in the Morgiana for God's sake. That'd be something.
I know I go and watch him in a week or as he's in. Yeah. I would, like, if I lived within an hour and a half of Ascot, I would definitely go to watch him.
So no one's going to the World Cup, lads? No?
No.
Can't drink. I know I mentioned that already, but you can't drink. You can't drink at the World Cup. That's going to be some crack. Right. Enjoy your weekend, lads. Enjoy the racing on the couch and sitting there with the daughters watching Rachel Blackmore win. Rory, enjoy Ascot if you decide to go. We'll be back next week, as per usual, Fridays with Fran and indeed with the lads looking ahead to the weekend racing. Until then, folks, stay well, stay lucky, and hopefully that 4/5-fold comes in.